my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, NCCE cautions electorate to protect biometric voter ID cards. National Media Commission settles musician One Love Kubolo genital exposure on television but falls short of punitive action. Senate will no longer pay lump sum as pension to its members when they go on retirement. Eastern Corridor Road project progresses steadily. Heavy rains early this morning caused floods in parts of Accra. Sudan pledges to cease hostilities with South Sudan. And in football, Maxwell Kunedu of Kumasi Asante Kotoko named assistant coach of Black Stars.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
One of the aspirants of the presidential slot of the CPP, Bright Akuti, says a CPP government led by him will tackle the nerve center of corruption in Ghana. Mr. Akuti made the pledge when he addressed Volta regional delegates who will be attending the party's May 12 Congress scheduled for Takoradi. Mr. Akuti said corrupt officials at all levels of public service are milking the country dry, leaving the majority of the people to wallow in poverty. He said he will be making some startling revelations on the depth and extent of corruption in the public service. Mr. Akuti said there are massive stealing from the public purse, where officials have mastered the craft of plastering over the holes they have punched in the national purse. He said it would take a committed, a bold leader as himself to tackle the pervasive corruption which is holding back the country's ability to provide quality life for every citizen as a right. Work on the Eastern Corridor Road project, which runs from Tema through the Adome Bridge to Hohoe, KJB and Kulungugu, is progressing steadily. The 700-kilometer project, when completed, will reduce traveling time between the northern and southern sectors of Ghana. The resident engineer of the Eastern Corridor Roads project, Kojo Abuaje, tells our Volta regional correspondent Kobla Ali Kukubo that the main challenges facing the project is a relocation of utilities. He also talks about the state of work and unique features of the road.
The progress of work is quite okay. The contractors about finishing their road camp, setting up their quarry, and later the asphalt plant. Now they are doing earthworks, so the road works itself will come on when the quarry is set up. So progress is quite fine.
Have you considered the challenges of the physically challenged and the factors in your scheme of things?
Yes, for the physically challenged, we have, and then also for pedestrians within the towns, we have side walks, and then we have underpasses in all the towns so that people do not have to cross the road.
What are your challenges in the course of the project?
Well, our challenges are mainly engineering challenges in the form of relocation of utilities which have been there for some time, the understanding of the traveling public so that they slow down when they get to areas they are working. Those are the main things. But then engineering-wise, we are overcoming the problem.
Resident engineer of the Eastern Corridor Roads project, Kojo Abuaje, talking to Kobla Ali Kukubo. The Volta regional minister, Fort Kamel, who took his first tour of the project, described it as one with a good concept of economic importance.
The significance is definitely overwhelming. First of all, it will reduce traveling time for the whole country and particularly for the Port of Volta region, and especially for travel between south and north. Secondly, it will open up the local economy of the Volta region and enhance a lot of intra-sub-region trade, because what is going to happen is that a lot of traffic flow is going to pass through the Volta region connecting to the north. So you are going to have a lot of support services springing up, fuel stations, restaurants, hotels, and what have you. all going to spend. These are all going to help the local economy. So the significance is definitely overwhelming.
What will be your advice to the communities through which this road is passing?
We need to have patience. The whole process starting this project and the whole process of completing this project is in cases. And people would need to identify themselves with the project and exercise some bit of patience with government and with the contractors. We also need to support the contractors who are on the road and to support the institutions that are working with the contractors to ensure that this road is completed. So chiefs, landowners, and communities should have a big heart and support the whole project for a successful completion.
That was Volta Regional Minister Henry Ford Kamel talking to Kwabla Ali Kukubo. Work is progressing steadily on the restructuring of the Brigade Camp Road at Aboso in the Western Region. The project is being funded jointly by the MP for Prestia Honey Valley and the Assembly. The MP, Francis Ebuble Kofi, said this when he paid a working visit to inspect the progress of work. He called on the contractor to speed up work to facilitate the ongoing development projects being undertaken by government to improve the economic development of the area. He said the initiative is in fulfillment of the promise made by the NDC during the 2008 elections to the community. Mr. Kofi said the people of Brigade Camp will no longer walk 5 miles to transact business at Aboso and neighboring villages, as the road can now be used by vehicles. The chief of Brigade Camp, Nana Teria, commended the MP and the Assembly for the laudable steps taken, adding that sick and pregnant women will no longer be carried on shoulders when in labor, as they can now be transported to hospital safely. The National Commission for Civic Education has cautioned disabled persons in the country to protect their biometric voter registration identity card. The Deputy Greater Accra Regional Director of the Commission, Prosper Lable, made the call at a workshop for members of Ghana Association for the Deaf in Accra. He urged the association members to immediately report to the police or the Electoral Commission with the receipt of their identity card when they lose it. The project manager, Johnson Mahama, appealed to media houses, especially television stations, to employ the services of sign language interpreters to enable people with hearing impairment to benefit from their news items. He, however, expressed concern about the failure of some political parties to attend their workshop without any apologies. The sensitization program was attended by 24 executive members from the Western, Volta, Greater Accra and Central regions. A youth advocacy organization, Public Youth and Students Movement of Ghana, PUSMUG, has asked the AMA and the enforcement agencies in the country to stop the operation of the Public Disturbance Law until its amendment. According to the leader of the group, Frederick Duncan Mujabi, the law does not specify the volume of noise that is accepted in society, the difference between sound and noise, and does not specify the distance within which a sound can be considered a noise. He says people who have therefore been convicted under this law have been done an injustice. He made this statement at a news conference in Accra. Doreen Ampofu was there and has found this report.
The Public Order Act 491, among other things, prevents people from making excessive noise which disturbs other people's peace of mind. According to PUSMUG, the law is unable to tell what actually constitutes public disturbance and the principles on which a court will handle or pass judgment against a person presented to court for public disturbance offenses. It says the law is wrongly written and is being used by the rich to perpetrate discrimination and to teach the poor and vulnerable in society. It cites the case between the Ebenezer Miracle Worship Center and the AME, where the church's Accra branch was closed down due to excessive noise.
This order, public disturbance, basically centers the attention on noise making, so that when you make noise and somebody feels your noise is more than what his or her ears can take, then the person can send you to court for disturbing him. Some people take the advantage to cheat on others. There are certain areas that this law didn't specify. The law in itself didn't specify any volume of noise or the degree at which that law will start calculating disturbance from the Opambo Ebenezer Miracle Worship Center. Has AMA forgotten that we have freedom of worship? And so if there is an organized church and the law will go against them that they are making noise, what is the distance apart? The police, They make noise a lot in their operation. Will that also be calculated under the law of public disturbance? Look at the dogs barking in the night. Whoa, 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 whoa. It is also public disturbance. So will you go and change the owners of the dogs to send them to court?
The leader of PUSMOG, Frederick Mujabi, appealed to authorities to create a provision in the law to specify what actually constitutes public disturbance in the country's legal systems to avoid cheating and embarrassment.
Doreen Ambuff reporting. SNIT says it will no longer pay a cumulative lump sum of money as pension to its members when they go on retirement under the new SNIT pension scheme. The Upper West Regional Manager of SNIT, Abudu Abdul Karimu, who made the statement, said by the National Pensions Act 2008, Act 766, SNIT has been mandated to pay only monthly pension to its members when they are on retirement. However, workers who were 55 years and above as at January 1, 2010 are still covered by PNDC Law 247, and SNIT will continue to pay them the accumulative lump sum when they are on pension for the five-year period. Mr. Karimu was educating workers on the new pension scheme during this year's May Day celebration in Wa at its customer clinic organized for workers to straighten their records with the scheme. He said the worker is mandated to contribute 5.5% of his or her basic salary to the scheme, while the employer contributed 13% on behalf of the worker, totaling 18.5%. He said an employer is obliged by law to remit 13.5% within 14 days after the end of each month to SNIT, and SNIT would subsequently remit 2.5% out of the 13.5% to the National Health Insurance Authority for members' health insurance. The remaining 5% is paid to the mandatory second-tier work-based contributory privately managed scheme. Mr. Karimu explained that the 5% that SNIT remits the second tier would be used to manage an employer's accumulative lump sum of money as pension to its members when they are on retirement under the new SNIT pension scheme. The third tier, he also explained, is a voluntary scheme similar to the Provident Fund managed in the offices. Some workers who patronized the clinic in an interview with the GNA commended the management of SNIT for the initiative and called on them to exercise a regular one to give rural workers the opportunity to update their records. The National Media Commission has called for greater adherence to media standards as established by the Code of Ethics of Journalism and respect for public sensibilities with regards to obscenity and pornography in any form. This follows complaints from the public about the pornographic content of an episode of the Delay program on TV3 hosted by Dolores Frimpomaa-Manso. The message is contained in a statement by the NMC on its Complaint Settlement Committee decision. We bring you the details.
Following public complaints and outcry against an episode of the Delay program, the NMC invited the management of TV3 and the executive producer and hosters of the program to a meeting of the Complaint Settlement Committee on the 4th of last month. According to the facts of the case, the 10th March 2012 episode of the program featured an interview with a Ghanaian musician, One Love the Kubolo, during which the musician was probed and challenged by the hostess, Dolores Frimpomaa-Manso, to confirm whether it is true that he never wears underpants under his characteristic rap by showing his genitals. The musician duly obliged and exposed his genitals. The segment was shown blurred, but with the audio capturing the exchanges that led to the exposure. The unedited version of the segment showing the exposure was subsequently shown on the internet. The management of TV3 apologized to the committee, saying the episode fell below the normal ethical standards of the network. It said, for this reason, it suspended the Delay program and also three officials connected to that episode. For her part, Ms. Frimpomaa-Manso said she heeded to advice by censoring the offensive part. She said it was as a result of the absence of effective control system that the episode was broadcast as presented. Ms. Frimpomaa-Manso stated that as to how the footage got to the internet, she cannot explain. In conclusion, the NMC called for greater adherence to media standards, saying it behoves all media practitioners and owners to put in place measures that will ensure the highest journalistic standards.
News Desk report. The Greater Accra Regional Minister Nilai Afutiago says to avert the perennial cholera outbreak in the region, the high level of unhygienic conditions must be tackled with all seriousness. He described as insanitary conditions under which people prepare and consume food as very appalling. Mr. Afutiago made the remarks at the 51st Annual Synod of the Methodist Church in Accra. Priscilla Usuansa was there and has found this report.
Synods are usually meetings of high-ranking bishops of Orthodox churches who usually convene to decide on issues of doctrines and administration. This year's is the 56th by the Methodist Church and held under the theme Redeeming Our Heritage. Mr. Afotiagbo, in his address, urged the public to refrain from dislodging their liquid waste and excreta into open drains which usually contaminate water for domestic use. He said, the cholera outbreak should be treated with all seriousness since it has already claimed lives. The Methodist Bishop of Accra, Right Reverend Titus Awochekwa, described faithful and true leaders as those who fear God and obey Him. He said they do not misuse their power against those who are powerless. Right Reverend Awochekwa said, in crucial times like these, Christians should come together and pray fervently for the peace of the nation and the election of a God-fearing leader. The Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing, Enokte Mensah, said, many of the situations which the early Methodists were confronted in the past are still with them. He advised that present generation must also face up to the demons of this age and overcome them as the earliest pilgrims confronted and overcame some of them.
Priscilla Usuansa reporting. The head of the International Christian Ministry, Reverend Philip Tutu, has challenged women, especially those in tertiary institutions, to be advocates of morality among the youth. He said the rates of immoral behavior at the various universities in the country is disturbing. Reverend Tutu was speaking at the launch of Daku Women Ministries annual conference in Accra. Here's a report by Mary Atule.
Gaku Women's Ministry is a non-governmental organization that empowers women through Christian evangelism. Reverend Philip Tutu said women have the power to transform society. Therefore, they need to take up the challenge of inculcating good morals among the youth. He said it's disheartening about reports of immoral acts on our universities. The National Executive Director of Gaku Women Ministry, Comfort Latte Ofori, said women have a role to play in ensuring peace in the December elections. She said it is time women arise to fight for the right things to be done in society. Mrs. Latte Ofori said the launch is the prelude to the 35th annual conference slated for August. This year's conference features a variety of activities leading to and after the main event to inform and educate women to contribute to Christian evangelism and women's empowerment in the country.
Mary Atule reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. NCCE cautions electorate to protect biometric voter ID cards. National Media Commission settles musician One Love Kubola's genital exposure on television that falls short of punitive action. SNIT will no longer pay lump sum as pension to its members when they go on retirement. Eastern Corridor Roads project progresses steadily. Heavy rains early this morning caused floods in parts of Accra. Sudan pledges to cease hostilities with South Sudan. And in football, Maxwell Kunedo of Asante Kotoko named assistant coach of Black Stars.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The Microfinance and Small Loans Center, MASLOC, has signed an agreement to outsource its loans recovery unit activity to UT Collections Limited, UTCL, a subsidiary of UT Holdings, to enable the center to retrieve its delinquent loans. Currently, the center's total amount of loans in debt stands at 49.5 million Ghana cedis. Speaking at the signing ceremony in Accra, the chief executive officer of MASLOC, Bertha Ansajan, said UTCL is expected to retrieve 10.45 million Ghana cedis in the first phase of the loan recovery exercise and any new debt within 1 year agreement. We bring you the details.
Madam Bertha and Sergeant said management has realized that the center needs greater impetus to upskill the loan recovery efforts, but conceded that Maslock staffing and logistical resources are too overstretched to achieve the needed results. Madam and Sergeant said they are outsourcing this activity in order that they are not distracted from their current programmed activities as they seek to better manage their stretched resources even more efficiently. She described the credit history in the country, particularly for public-supported funding schemes, as not impressive enough, adding that there is the need to seek the collaboration of a private sector institution with an impressive track record in loan recovery to handle it. Madam Ansojan observed that more than 300 million Ghana cedis is needed to finance loan applications and the center's obligation both for new and existing loans. She said the center has made a shift in its portfolio management policy, adding that credit administration is a two-way affair with credit officers being in charge with both disbursements and recovery in their individual portfolio management. As a result, recovery rates have been far more impressive than before. Board Chairman of Maslow, Kenol Kakukosa, said the center could not be sustainable in supporting the productive poor in society if it is beleaguered with huge debts. Highlighting some bad debts that had hit the center, he said 3 million Ghana cedis is in arrears in the Ashanti region, whilst Greater Accra region had 1 million Ghana cedis indebted to the center. He expressed confidence in the ability of UTCL to assist in recovering the loans so that the center could continue to disburse loans to small-scale enterprises.
That was a news desk report. The acting vice chancellor of the University of Energy and Natural Resources, Professor Isi Uwa, says the efficient harnessing and management of energy and natural resources are critical for fashioning out a sustainable development agenda that, she said, requires the existence of a crop of experts in economics, law, policy, science and engineering and natural resources. Professor Uwa was speaking at the dialogue section of the Bono Ahafo Policy Fair in Sunyani. Emmanuel Mensah-Bridu, starting for Radio Ghana.
Professor Iwa announced that the university is expected to train the next generation of experts and undertake cutting-edge research to support the country's development in energy and natural resources. The acting vice-chancellor of UENR indicated that there are growing trends to develop biomass for sustainable bioenergy from forestry, agriculture, and waste. She observed that Ghana, as a developing country, has to spearhead the development of renewable energy resources that are cheap and clean for our local industries. She continued that in order to realize its vision, the university will promote innovation, creativity, freedom of thought, and creative expression, as well as operate with integrity, commitment, and transparency as some of its core values. Professor Uwa said the university will also be responsive to the needs of its students and partner communities. She said the university will equally make it a policy for every student to develop a business plan before completion, and then the administration will form a collaboration with Harvard Business School.
Emmanuel Mensah-Bridu sent that report from Sunyani. Heavy rains in the early hours of this morning caused floods in parts of Accra. At Teshi Mami, water flooded the main road leading to Nungwa and Accra. Some kiosks along the road were submerged, while vehicles were nearly carried away by the water. People were seen in water trying to salvage some valuables, with the water reaching their knee level. The situation was not all that different at La. Vehicles found it difficult to move around the Palm Wine Junction road leading to the 37 Military Hospital. At the 37 roundabout, an MTN billboard was blown down by the storm. A 13-year-old pupil of St. Mary Preparatory School at Suhum, Ama Adokodate, died instantly when she was struck by lightning during a downpour at Infanta near Suhum. According to an eyewitness, Emmanuel Ode, the deceased alighted at Infanta Junction on her way to the town when she was suddenly struck to death by lightning. He said the deceased was staying with the sister at Suhum, where she attended the St. Mary Preparatory School, but she normally spent her weekends with her family at Infanta. She had since been buried after a post-mortem at the Suhum Government Hospital. On the foreign front, Sudan has promised to cease hostilities with South Sudan and comply with the UN Security Council resolution. However, the foreign ministry says Khartoum reserves the right to respond to aggression from the south. The statement came hours after Juba alleged fresh bombing by the Khartoum government's forces. A UN resolution yesterday backed an African Union plan demanding that both sides cease hostilities amid fears of an all-out war between the neighbors. The Security Council called for a written commitment by both governments within 48 hours and threatened sanctions if terms were not met, but tension is still high. Prosecutors in the trial of former Liberian President Charles Taylor have said he will be handed an 80-year sentence following his war crimes conviction in The Hague last week. In a brief, the team told the special court for Sierra Leone that extreme magnitude of the crimes he committed warrants the long-term sentence. The 64-year-old was found guilty on 11 counts, including rape and murder, relating to the Sierra Leone Civil War. He will be sentenced on the 30th of this month. During the 1991 to 2002 Civil War, Charles Taylor, who was president of neighboring Liberia, backed revolutionary United Front rebels who killed thousands of people. In return, he received blood diamonds collected by slaves. Centrist leader François Bayrou has announced his support for socialist candidate François Hollande in Sunday's presidential election. Mr. Bayrou came fifth on the first round of voting, taking 9.1% of the vote. If his supporters join him in voting for Mr. Hollande, it will deal a significant blow to Nicolas Sarkozy's chances of re-election. Although Mr. Bayrou once served with the president in a right-wing cabinet, he says he has gone too far to the right. He said he was not making any voting recommendation, but accused Mr. Sarkozy of abandoning European values and moving too close to the far-right position on immigration. The European Union has commended journalists for working courageously as they go through highly precarious conditions to provide independent information in the interest of the public. In a statement to mark World Press Freedom Day, the EU said censorship and harassment of editors, writers, journalists or bloggers are unacceptable. The Union therefore condemned the use of violence and state-induced arrests inflicted upon journalists in some countries. The EU appealed to all countries to guarantee the safety of journalists and to allow them to carry out their vital role of reporting and commenting on events in an independent manner without fear of violence and recrimination. The statement paid tribute to all those who fought for the respect of freedom of expression and for free, pluralistic press and other media. More organizations are joining the crusade against political violence, intolerance and the use of abusive language in the media. The latest is the civil society group Pro Image Communications in collaboration with MISIGA under the National Sports Authority. Soccer is being used as a tool to foster unity and promote peace among political parties. Gala matches will be organized for all political parties and other stakeholders to achieve this purpose. Speaking at the media launch, Deputy Minister of Greater Accra Region, Nijang Mavandapoy, said using soccer gala holds the key to political tolerance. We bring you reports by Yahya Kwamwa.
The use of intemperate language by panelists and phone-in callers as well as screening headlines in the newspapers and the electronic media on political violence is worrying. The Deputy Greater Accra Regional Minister, Nijang Mavandapoy, commended Pro Image Communications for particularly bringing all political parties together in one team to play soccer. This, he noted, is a necessary ingredient of democracy and very critical in national development.
There is definitely a need to put in place programs and activities that will unite us and bring us together as one people with a common destiny. It is in this regard that I see this event as a welcome exercise. As a country, we have done this before and they expect us to do it. It requires the commitment, patience and above all, a high level of political tolerance from all the political parties.
The CEO of Pro Image Communications, Nathaniel Ebo Nsaku, explained that the main objective of the Political Tolerance Soccer Gala 2012 is to create a team that has representation of leading members of the various political parties in the country.
And all the political parties have contested and have demonstrated that they are ready to play with their colleagues. We need to set the record straight and need to actually send a signal out there that they don't mean war.
That report was filed by Yahya Kwamla. The Ghana Football Association has named the head coach of Kumasi Asante Kotoko, Max Okunedu, as the assistant coach of the national team, the Black Stars. Okunedu, who supervised Kotoko to their recent Premier League success, will assist head coach James Akwesiapia during his two-year tenure of duty. We'll bring you the details.
Kunedu's appointment may come as no surprise to the football fraternity, as he was highly tipped to partner the head coach, a similar role he successfully executed during the 2011 All-Africa Games in Maputo, Mozambique, to win gold with the Black Meteors. Also on board in the Black Stars backroom staff is Nassam Yakubu, who takes up the goalkeeper's trainer role, with Dr. Adam Baba as the team doctor, whilst the physiotherapist will be Kenol Ofusu Inim. Samuel Ankuma becomes the team masseur, with Sabang Kwe and Ismail Hamidu appointed as welfare and equipment officers. Akwesi Apia remains the head coach of the local Black Stars and will be assisted by Dauda Lutrot, with the goalkeeper's trainer as Jerry Ajay.
That was a news desk report. To end the news, the main points again. NCCE cautions electorate to protest biometric voter ID cards. National Media Commission settles musician One Love Kubolo's genital exposure on television but falls short of punitive action. And heavy rains early this morning caused floods in parts of Accra. The news was presented by Abraham Donko in Accra.